He said he qualified, but he an outcast. How?
How, Sway? Welcome.
Not y'all putting Derek through this. Derek ain't deserve all that.
Derek knows what he did.
Y'all hear that? Smell a rat around here.
You know what I'm saying?
Matter of fact, they call Derek disloyal.
We gonna have to see if that nigga coming back from season 3. I don't know. Me and Jesse got to talk about some things.
You know, it's kind of parallel.
Apparently, I'm on the chopping block. It's okay.
You're on a waterboarding block. What are you talking about? Welcome back to the It's Just Jokes podcast. You already know what the fuck's going on around here. It's your boy, Groovy Grizzly.
This nigga said I deserve
death. How extreme that is?
He said I deserve death.
He said no. Bring the 5-gallon water in.
Bring the distilled water. I want him to really feel this.
You know what? Go to the sea, bring it in by the bucket, nigga. Salt water in.
Flint, I got a mission for you. It's Just Joe's podcast. It's your boy Jesse Pink, aka Groovy Grizzly, aka Baby Samoa Joe. It's a
boy. This is gonna be a good one.
So you can see the topic of today is violence.
Clearly.
Welcome to the It's Just Jokes podcast. My name is Joshua Chapman, a.k.a. Slim Balor, a.k.a. Baby Giannis, a.k.a. Mr. Take Your Girl. Wow, Baby Giannis with the Bucks fan on here. We might have to change it. A.k.a. Mr. Take Your Girl Front Your Face. I'm here with my co-host, as always, first, Jesse Pink.
Fuck you, Steven.
A.k.a. Dolomite P, a.k.a. Baby Samoa Joe. That was Baby Samoa Joe right there. A.k.a. Groovy Grizzly. Why? Because he keeps it raw on you hoes. And Derek Small.
What up, man? What up?
You ain't got no other nicknames, brother?
Rat.
I thought Jesse was...
Rat.
A.k.a. D Smalls. A.k.a. Anthony Mackey Jr. A.k.a. Damn, Derek, where'd you find this pod? Shout out to Dre for everything behind the... shout out to Dre for the intro music. Shout out to D Will for everything behind the scenes. We appreciate both of you guys. Joining us today from the Qualified Podcast, as well as The Right Quality, Steve Qualls.
What's going on, man? I don't have as many nicknames as they do. Just call me Mr. Qualified, if anything else, if not my name. Fuck Jesse, by the way, as well.
What are you qualified for?
Man,
that's all I want to know.
Man,
what are you qualified for?
Everything. What do you mean?
What are you qualified for, man? You just can't be walking around, I'm Mr. Qualified. For what, nigga?
First of all, it's my name. So that in itself.
No, nigga, it's Qualls, not qualify. It's a difference.
That's the thing. When you look at the spelling, the
no, I don't.
The phonetics of it all. You feel what I'm saying? It's qualified. You feel me? That's what I'm saying. That's why you got
Mr. Qualified. I just want to know what you qualified for.
Take the scarf off. First and foremost, take the scarf off.
Take the hat off.
Why? I'll take the hat off if you take the scarf off.
How about we go from there?
You qualify for that greasy ass face you gonna get on this camera with. You thought I wasn't gonna say nothing.
I qualify for having moisturized skin with that flaky ass mustache.
That's not moisturized skin. That's not moisturized skin. That's pouring oil on your face and just hopping on camera and you didn't realize.
That's not porcelain skin. That's alligators fucking shedding after maintenance season, nigga. That's what that is.
First off, did you just get back from the gym? Because that's all sweat I'm seeing. That's all sweat, all in the neck areas.
We did work out an hour ago on some strong boy shit.
Hey, no, the crazy part is we were going to keep going saying whatever the hell we was going to say.
I know.
Jesse wasn't going to get tired. That's the problem. That's the issue.
My nigga, if me and Derek didn't butt in, this would have just been an hour of you two going back and forth.
Hey, man.
All right. Damn.
The fact that that's how we started this.
Just violent,
you stay the fuck out of this.
Damn, what the
fuck? I will talk to you said, off camera hey, with this why, shit.
Why did he just hit me with the grown folks talking? Why he just
hey, nigga, you heard the skit a couple of weeks ago. You know why.
You know what right. you did.
No. Let's talk about it then. Nah, let's, Derek, talk hey, about Derek, it.
Let's talk about it. Because just like qualifying like skin, you a little flaky around here.
Like, I don't be on here every time we record. Or like,
yeah, but see, oh, but see Derek, you on here. This is Joker business right here. See, you on here, but then when we have all the behind the scenes stuff, you know where to be found. Where are you, Derek? Okay. Over there with the right quality. Because then suddenly you can find time for that, right?
Okay, relax. Relax. We're not doing this tonight.
He can make time for everything, but not his family.
The ones that gave you this very platform, nigga.
I hate it when the family fuse, man. I really do.
Because you the side chick that fucked us up.
Who's the one that taught you how to export?
Not the
me, side. Nigga. It was me.
Technically DST.
It was me. No, because you were doing the standard, the QuickTime one, and I was like, hey, nah, nigga, you need to put it to H.264 and then go to this, export it in YouTube 1080p. Right.
Wait, Derek, he's saying you ain't learned that in DST.
Nah, honestly, I just be doing it the normal way. He had to hit me with that correct fact. He was like, you got to do it in the YouTube 1080p. I was like, shit, still 720. He's like, it's got to be 1080. I was like, 720 still
it's not you about. Use them same it's not about the 1080 versus the 720.
You use them same techniques for someone else.
Y'all want him to be smashed elsewhere. Y'all want him to be smashed all around.
Well, you know what? You know what? Since you use his, since you, Mr. Derek Smalls, help Mr. Qualified with his podcast. How about he tells us what his podcast is about?
I'm so. Man, no, nah, but the podcast though, man, they're away from that, man. First off, I'm really trying to keep the segue going, but Jesse's stupid. The podcast for real though, I wouldn't even thought I'd been doing podcasts like a year ago. I never thought they would be set up in that format or they would be set up as conversational as they are. But for real, last year, it was just like, it's the pandemic. Like, I kind of owe everything, or at least what I've done in the past year, to the pandemic, because I was a nigga in the pandemic that was like, yeah, I'm going to chill. Like, I ain't going to do shit for, like, the first month. And then I got bored. And then I was like, nah, I just need to challenge myself for real. Like, I really need to figure out how this can look. And it was really the simple fact that everything started being done through Zoom, like anything school-related, family-related. Zoom, like, everybody got Zoom fatigue, and I was like, shit, fuck it, let's use Zoom to, you know, its full capabilities. And that's when I started reaching out to more people who, like, aren't in Missouri or aren't where I'm at, and it just widened, like, who I figured, you know, I could talk to. Then once I actually got into doing it, it was realizing, like, how, yeah, the conversation was able to help somebody else tell their story, but for me, it was also kind of, like, therapeutic, because I was able to have somebody tell their story, but then have conversations about relatable things that I'm already thinking about, I'm already tweeting about, or, you know, talking about elsewhere. So it's like, let's actually bring these conversations, you know, to a public platform and see if they can help anybody else the way they may be helping me or other people. So that's what Qualified TV essentially became. And then the right quality is just sports talk. That's really all it is. It's just sports talk and us having fun with that. Man, Ashley's amazing. She's incredible. Her knowledge, her insight is just as good as, I don't know, anybody else who I've talked to about sports. So that's just fun and just getting into that. But
yeah man, have her on here. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no, she cool. She cool. We wouldn't have
she to cool. Just not me. She cool, though. It is. I got you. Yeah, it's all her. No, whole time. Really. I just be there.
So is that why you decided to do two different, because you wanted to do one with Ashley and just focus on sports and then sort of still find your own lane?
Yeah. So funny enough, originally, before I even had like Qualified TV, I had the Qualified podcast, which was with Jalen, who I know y'all had on here. And so I wanted to keep that going. I always knew I wanted to do a show, one, that was specifically sports related. And two, I always wanted to do a show where I did it with a woman co-host. And so me and Ashley had actually started working on it like right before the pandemic hit. It was just going to be audio. Then the pandemic hit and we was just like, well, do we want to make it visual? And we were both down to do that. So that's just how it came about. And yeah, I wanted to keep it separate because I don't know. I just feel like I know I can get really deep into sports. So like I wanted to have something that was dedicated to that, because like other sports conversations can come up. Obviously, like I had that conversation with anybody, but also I know like if I'm really trying to get deep into it, if I'm trying talking about like if I want to have somebody who really keeping up with stats, keeping up with like the other stories going around the league and like other sports, I know Ashley can do that. And that's somebody who, one, like I know I can respect their opinion. I know what they're talking about. And also somebody who can legitimately challenge me in the sense of like, you know, asking me a question. And I know that that's based in, you know, her trying to challenge my sports knowledge and not somebody that's trolling basically, or somebody that's just, I don't know, a super fan that's just trying to prove their point, but not really have a, like a sports conversation. And so I feel like you could run into that if I'm just talking to not a random, but somebody where sports talk is not the emphasis or the focus. So yeah, I did want to have separation for a reason.
The only reason I asked is because it's very interesting to me that you had Tashawn on Qualified TV and not the right quality. Like, I know that's like what he does every day, so maybe that's not what you want to get on him to talk about. But also, like, I was like, damn, like,
yeah,
you know, like,
no, for sure. And there's definitely an intersection that occurs there. But I think, and it's actually something me and Ashley have talked about before. The right quality could easily become something that is set up in similar format to Qualified TV, to where it's not solely just like back and forth debate and there's actual kind of conversation mixed in with the stat talk or whatever the case may be, because Tashawn would be perfect for that. And there have been instances where, like you said, there may be like heavy sports talk within Qualified TV because that's what somebody does. But I think I've always wanted Qualified TV to be focused on the story of that person. So, and I'm going to assume that there's more to that person than their like main purpose or their main job, or there's a story behind how they got there that I more so want to focus on than just solely where they are. So there's a lot of intersection, and you could easily say a lot of guests could be on like, you know, the right quality or like the interlude where it's like a single focus. But I think that's kind of the beauty of it. It's kind of like, you kind of get a little bit of everything no matter where you at. So I feel like, you know, in each piece of content, it's like you can't say you technically missing something. So, yep.
Yeah, somebody on here said y'all sports takes be kind of out there a little bit. I don't know.
It was Josh. Say it was Josh.
I didn't know who said it, but just talk to me.
It was Josh. Say it was Josh.
I ain't got no problem. You ain't have to beat around the nigga. Ain't nobody gonna whoop my ass. Like,
oh, baby, honest. I don't want to touch it, baby, honest. I don't want to touch
it. You know what I'm saying? put on a little weight now. It might be scary hours.
Listen. You put on muscle. I done put on. I still got my quarantine weight, so I really ain't trying to deal with nobody at this current point in time. But no, I mean, I get that though. There's a lot of people that say that, and it's hilarious because I don't expect anybody to fully like agree with any of our takes, you know, and we go back and forth. I mean, my thing is, if you disagree with our takes, if you're willing to have like an actual conversation and can prove your point to me, like I'll easily can see, like if you can prove a point to me and I can see where I'm wrong or something I didn't consider, I can see it and be like, you know what, I get that perspective. I ain't think about that. You actually right. And I would say it like on air if it ever came to that, or if I've had conversations that had to double back on it, I will. So I love that. Like, I love that people disagree, because I would hate to like be doing a show and feel like everybody agrees with what I'm saying. Like, you can respect my take, but if you disagree, I'm down for that too. Like, that's what the debate is all about. So, but a lot of people don't really come into debate with facts or perspective. It's more so, a lot of people like to debate as if it's Facebook. And you know, on Facebook, it's like, or First Take, because it's like, don't disagree for the sake of disagreeing. Like, if you have a genuine, like different perspective that you want to speak on, cool, let's talk. But if you just want to disagree because you hate LeBron, you know, or you just want to disagree because, I don't know, you think such and such, you know, there's nothing negative to say, then there's no point in us having an actual sports conversation. Like, that's your opinion, and that's cool, but ain't no point in us having a real conversation about it.
Well, Mr. Qualified, I have a question for you.
What's up?
In regards to the type of podcast that you have, what makes your podcast, in particular the sports podcast that you have, different from the multiple podcasts, sports podcasts that we see coming out?
I think what's different, at least from the sports podcast that I know, and I'm more so looking at people in my like range. I wouldn't be looking at like obviously the podcasts that come from, you know, your personalities from like ESPN and like your other like major personalities in sports. But like people like just like myself or in my age range just doing this and like kind of getting started, I don't know of any other podcast that has a prominent woman voice that's as insightful as Ashley. So I think like having her as my co-host is a huge difference, because I think there's a lot of, you can get your homies that get together and talk sports. You can, and that's usually what I see, to be completely honest. If I know of any other sports podcast, it's homies getting together talking about it. And it's actually crazy. Like, I don't see a lot of sports podcasts in the realm of like just getting started. Like right now, you see a lot of people be able to start podcasts or get a jump because they already have this following or this audience, and they're able to have it backed by, I don't know, some major brand or corporation or what have you. So I think for us to just kind of like be doing this, you know, on our own, I think if anybody's like actually is listening week to week and paying attention, I think her insight and her ability to always make sure that there's a woman perspective being brought to the table in a situation, especially when it calls for it. I think that, one, it's extremely necessary, and two, you need that in a podcast and in a world, just in the world in general with sports, where that's becoming more of a conversation, not an issue, but more of a conversation, and it needs to be more of a conversation. So I definitely think her voice in general is one thing. And then also, I just I genuinely believe that who you are as a person, like, is your brand. So if you know me and if you rock with me, like, you're going to get something from me within sports that you're not going to get from somebody else. It don't mean like I'm the sole person that's right, or I'm the sole perspective you have to pay attention to. Like, if you know me and know how like connected I am to sports or how much I'm into sports, then you know, one, that I'm going to be doing my research and I'm going to bring facts to the table. And two, like, you're going to get my personality. So if you rock with that, then that will probably be something that you can like kind of like attached to in terms of like being a fan of the podcast, because you're a fan of the person that's doing it, not just more so the sports news they may be talking about.
Okay.
Separation.
Okay. Okay. Cool. You're talking about your connections to sports. How about you tell me about your connections to your hometown and how that connection to your hometown either influenced your love for sports or how it in some way influenced you getting into your podcast?
For sure. So yeah, man, my town, man, I'll start by saying, you know, it ain't like it's a lot to say about Milwaukee. You know, I heard y'all conversation about the states. You know what I'm saying? I saw where Wisconsin.
And we don't back down from none of it.
We don't back down from none. I said what I said.
Listen.
I said that what I said.
You ain't got to. I ain't asking you to back down. I'm with you. You feel me? But not, man.
Also, this is just a reminder. Ohio's a trash-ass state. Ohio's
a trash-ass state. I still don't want to be in Alaska. I'm not freezing my nuts off
again. Fuck West Virginia, too.
A grizzly bear. Right. I mean, a polar bear. Never.
Y'all stupid as hell. But no, but Milwaukee, man, like, the city itself, I always compare it to, and by no means, to the people from the city who are in this podcast, do I want to disrespect. But in some facets, to a little
capacity. Go ahead and log out for me, boy.
To a little bit of a
capacity. Dan, go ahead. Turn this mic off.
Milwaukee is considered, or can be considered, to be a mini, very much smaller version of Chicago. Now, let me preface. This is in no way a comparison to where y'all stand nationally, you know, in the country, where y'all even stand in the world. Trust me, ain't no place like Chicago. Y'all got the Midwest on lock. Y'all argue with St. Louis.
I wish people from Detroit could understand that.
I don't even know why they
and people from St. Louis.
Or St. Louis, for that matter.
I was going to say, really, if you're going to ask me, like, Detroit got a lot of history, but I really say, like, as of right now, I'd say it's like St. Louis and Chicago who would be able to have a
bro company. You right now, Steve, could go buy 12 city blocks in Detroit for $49.99 right now.
Hey, bro, you said it's on sale.
I have no comment on that.
If you buy 20, they'll give you 4 for 75. You feel me? Like,
I have no comment on that, man.
Going fast.
No, just,
going fast. It's going fast. You got to get it now.
That's so disrespectful. But nah, man, I mean, but Milwaukee, like, I say that to say, like, I think people assume Milwaukee to be synonymous with the rest of Wisconsin, which is, like, very country, very white. And Milwaukee is not. Milwaukee is not that. Milwaukee is an hour from Chicago. A lot of what happens in Chicago, like, comes over. It spoils over to Milwaukee. So,
yep.
Like, Milwaukee is still, like, if it's not still the top ranked, it's always top five and, like, the most segregated cities in the country. So, like, there is this... There's things that we grew up like still having like to deal with like and see, and it's not to compare at all, but it's more so like that's just my personal experience. So for me, it's like getting out, and I don't know if it's like that for Chicago because a lot of people do go.
Chicago segregated as hell.
No, that's why I laughed. That's why I had laughed for a minute because he was like segregated like Chicago. So I mean, we just
But also Chicago isn't nearly as racist as Milwaukee either. Like Milwaukee's way more racist. I would say it's more racist than segregated.
So
but
you see my hand? So you see my hand?
Yes.
You see my hand? So each space represents an ethnic enclave in Chicago. That's literally how segregated they are.
And I feel that. And that's why I would say Milwaukee more so like for the racist aspect than segregation more say. But like the racist part, like there's still a lot of very, very like strong racism that's experienced there that I ain't been to other cities. I ain't
like very overtly or very overtly. Like overtly, okay. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Overtly and institutionally, both. So
I see what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah. So but growing up in that, it's like it's also unlike Chicago where a lot of people will come back because there's opportunities there or it's just not bad to live in Chicago.
There's opportunities in Chicago once you got some money.
Fair. Yeah. Or you kind of tied to like some political aldermen here.
Because if you're our age and trying to move, like the jobs for people our age. But if you got some bread with you, then you can like.
But not to take away from your point, Steve, because I just got through doing a map on the ethnic enclaves in Milwaukee. I see what you're saying. It almost looked like a circular donut, at least like from what I've seen. Yeah. So
when it comes to like, as far as people getting out, like people don't get out of Milwaukee, like people don't leave. And I don't know what the word for that is or what the idea or concept for that is. But there are so many, like all my homies, like I got a group of like 8 or 9 homies from high school. And this ain't no like disrespect to them because they all did what was best for them. But I was the only one that like left the state to go to school and that had a desire to leave the state to go to school. Like everybody else was like very much content, like especially at the time, like just leaving high school, like it's much easier to go to one of these like schools in the UW system because it's cheaper. Like I can stay at home. I ain't got to pay the out of state. Like if they wasn't getting scholarship, that was just easier. Whereas you had my mom's like really owe me like if you going in state, you going to like Marquette or you going to Madison. If not, you need to be trying to go out of state. And so for me, it was more so like I want to experience out of state. And then when I did, I realized like how much I wouldn't have grown if I had stayed like in that environment. So for me, like my hometown, like to answer the original question, my hometown has that effect on me in a sense where like I have so much pride in it, but a lot of my pride in it comes from wanting to show what you can do when you leave and eventually like what you can bring back to it, but more so showing like this is why you need to leave because these are the experiences you need to be able to become the people that we don't get to see like in a city like that. So that's the, and that's why like when I have guests on like Qualified TV from Milwaukee, like if they, especially if they've gotten out and done something, like that's why I also love for people to hear their perspective too. Cause it's not just me. Like it's not, I'm just not saying that like just to say, oh, this is how I feel about Milwaukee. Like this is a general thing that the community feels and getting out is like very tough for a lot of people. So when we do, it's like, we take that pride of the city with us because we want to show like, yeah, like this, it's our own little melting pot. Like it's a lot that we take from the city, but we want to like take the city with us and show like this, there's so much more of the world like for us to see other than just our city, so much growth we can experience. So that's the influence that the city has on what I do in general. So all the podcasts have that mentality for me going into it as I approach it.
For sure. I do actually. I actually want to ask a quick question. Going back,
Derek, what don't you know? We've talked about this all the time, Derek. What don't you know?
Unofficially,
I'm playing. How to be loyal?
Hey, relax.
I'm crying. Oh, what's up, bro?
No,
sewer rats be talking.
You said so. I'm not gonna do this with you. You're not gonna do this. Relax. I'm trying to be a part of the team now, but y'all niggas don't even want me here. So look.
Now, no. You should have thought about this before, nigga. You should have thought about this when you was doing that shit. How can we trust you? How can we trust you?
Jesus, can't trust that.
Jesus Christ. Now you brought
blood,
up,
homie.
You brought up a point earlier. You know, about just getting started and kind of like the space that puts you in, like with podcasts and things like that. So what do you feel still makes Qualified, like what it is from a standpoint of like content or like what you're sharing with like your audience, even though you may not always get like the engagement that you want?
Consistency and vulnerability. Those are the only two things I can control. So like whether you want to tie in vulnerability and like authenticity, like that and being consistent are the only things I can control in this industry of like content creation and especially like digital stuff where it's really up to people to kind of engage and help you push. Like you can only do so much to like sell your brand and to put yourself out there. A lot of that comes from how many people are listening every week and telling other people to listen or always sharing, you know, anything that you're doing and getting other people to pay attention. And it's not something like that you beg for, that you want to happen, like, you know, that's not genuine because you always want that to, you know, be from the heart. But I think that's what kind of keeps it going. And I don't know how much that separates it from what, you know, other people have going on. I know a lot of things are sometimes more like they're more centered on something specific. So like if somebody has a music platform or somebody is like an apparel company, like those things are kind of different because it's very specific what you're getting. It's very specific what people will be looking for. Whereas my platform is each interview is going to be different and you may not be, you know, each interview may not pique everybody's interest and that's perfectly fine. But I personally love variety or I love the fact that I can offer variety. So between the vulnerability that I know that I exude every time and that sometimes I'm able to actually get like other people to exude as well, especially realizing that there are going to be people watching that have no idea who they are. So for them to be as open and as vulnerable as they are about certain things, I've had people talk about deaths in their family. I've had people talk about some like the lowest points in their life, realizing that like it's going to be available for people who do not know them at all. So even the fact that they're that comfortable to have that conversation like with me, again, goes back to that versatility and that vulnerability. And I'm consistent with that. I feel like you don't really go a week without seeing some pieces of my content. And because there's so much, I can easily have weeks where like not everything comes out, like, cause even then, like it's tiring. Don't get me wrong. Like being consistent definitely can be exhausting, but I pride myself on that. I pride myself on always being able to offer my product in some way, form or fashion. So I feel like since that's all I can control, that's what I can perfect. And everything else just comes when it comes, if it comes, you know, I can't stress about that too much. So that's kind of how I looked at it, you know, when starting it. And I'd be lying if I told y'all, like, I didn't go through phases where I was questioning whether I should be continuing to do it, questioning whether people were really getting like my message or what I wanted them to get and see from everything. But at the end of the day, again, all I can control is, you know, those few things. So perfect that, you know, as long as I'm good, like as long as I'm content with what I'm putting out and knowing that it meets like, you know, my internal and personal like requirements and criteria, the rest is for, you know, the world to digest on their own and do what they want to do with it. Cause that at the end of the day, that part don't got nothing to do with me. So, but yeah, them two things I can control. So
that's right. Yeah. You master your faith, bro. You master your faith. So you kind of adequate. You master your faith. That's a small little shout out for you. Congratulations.
It was. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Yes, congratulations. I do want to take it back to something you said earlier because we were talking about you on the Right Quality podcast and talking about you can respect my take and don't agree with it and, you know, bringing facts and all that. Because, bro, I remember I was telling people from the jump when the Giants did this, that when they took Saquon, that was a dumb pick. and it still is to this day. Saquon is a great player and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It is a dumb pick to pick a running back damn near in the first round. It's two overall, especially.
Yeah.
And people were like, well, no. Well, all you got to do then is you're going to set up the offense and then hand it over to the quarterback. I'm like, hey, bro, like, the quarterbacks next year are trash. Like, that shit terrible. Like, if you go back and look at it now, if you redo that draft, maybe Cleveland stays with Baker at one. Mm-hmm. Then the Giants are sitting looking at Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson. Would you rather have Lamar Jackson or Saquon Barkley on your team?
The obvious answer to most is going to be Lamar Jackson. But I'm pretty sure you're going to have a population of people that will probably argue Saquon.
Okay, Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen or Saquon. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, for sure.
Einstein's 2020, like, though, so there's that.
I mean, but even then, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, even then, you could.
You're talking about regardless,
I'm like, bro, like, because my main argument was like, you can find a quality running back round two, yeah. round three, round four.
Yeah.
Right. Nick Chubb went in the second round. I think there was the pick either before or after the Giants. But if the Giants really wanted to, they could have jumped Cleveland to get that. Right. And Nick Chubb is a good running back, a very good running back. Like, the drop off in reality between what Nick Chubb and Saquon is going to give you, let's be honest, it's not a whole lot. The drop off between Josh Allen that is today, and I get that he was a project, or Lamar Jackson to Daniel Jones, like, that's championship level right there, bro. Like, that's what I'm saying. So I definitely feel you on one of those aspects.
No, I definitely feel you. And so to that point, do you feel like there will ever be enough? Do you feel like there will ever be a back talented enough to where you can't not take them that high?
That high at two? If you're picking it, put it to
or
you like this.
If you're round, or first round.
Like I wasn't necessarily mad at the Chiefs for taking Etienne, I think it was, it was Clyde Edwards-Helaire, right? They just won the Super Bowl. They have Mahomes. They have a perfect offense set up around Mahomes, right? Maybe you have some question marks on defense, but if you're looking to, like, add more to that offense, like, I'm not mad at you for using the number 32 pick on it, right? Okay. Picking at two means you have a lot of problems, and if you don't already have a quarterback, that is your biggest problem, right? Yeah. Like, the NFL is one of those is a league where like baseball, you can win because you can have a whole bunch of other guys. Like, you can have good guys everywhere and win. You can have great starting pitching. You're not going to win off the strength of one person, right? NBA, you can have one guy, regardless of position, sort of carry you through. The NFL, if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a team. Like, that is the single most important position in football. And we see it because, like, if the 49ers had a real quarterback that they actually believed in going up against the Chiefs, that game probably turns out differently. You know why that game turned out differently for the Chiefs? Because they had Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes, right? Yeah.
The reason that the Bucs went out and got Brady everything he needed because he's still Tom Brady, right? Like, there's very rare that a quarterback – like, your team has to be a different worldly level of good in order for you to just be like, quarterback, we can get by with who we have here, right? Like,
yeah.
Prime example. It's so tough being a Wisconsin sports fan in a moment like this.
Woo! Let's talk about it.
I don't think he has any leverage. I don't think he has any leverage.
I don't think so, neither.
He doesn't have leverage, but at this point, leverage isn't even a part of the conversation, at least in my opinion. If you're looking at Aaron Rodgers and what he's done for the Green Bay Packers since taking over for Favre in what was that? 07?
Yeah, it was the 07 draft. Yep.
Aaron Rodgers is the main reason the Packers have remained relevant in that time frame. And mind you, every season their success has essentially been on the shoulder of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
There was a strong stretch, probably about 3 or 4 years, where we had absolutely no defense. Absolutely no defense whatsoever. And we still had winning seasons solely because this man, Aaron Rodgers, with part of that, he had like a really strong offense. But then even when that offense started to fall off, it was him just putting up points every Sunday.
Like, now,
wait. So I do have like a question though. So like, in a way, is that not a person's leverage? Like, if they continue
well, to... Well, see, here's the thing. Here's the thing, though.
If they continue to give you success and, like, put you in position...
Not when you're an agent quarterback.
That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
And it's also, he's not going to be a free agent. He signed for another, 2 years or something like that?
Is it two or three years?
Is he still on his recent contract?
I think this upcoming season is the one where they still owe him a lot of money, and then after that, they can cut him without any cost, right? But then you're also banking on him becoming Brady in a way,
right?
Playing past 36, 37, which, like, I'm sure Aaron Rodgers probably can do, but also just like how, because, like, also the thing, not this past season, but the one before though, so not his MVP season. Yo, being honest. There was times he was looking a little washed.
First of all, mind you, I'll never say he looked washed to me, but I also consider the fact that I'll give somebody that argument simply because there were a couple years he had no O-line, or his O-line got completely injured for the season. And he's dealt with some relatively major injuries in at least the last 5 years that other quarterbacks haven't dealt with, Brady more specifically at least.
Right.
So, and that's probably really – Brady hasn't really dealt with a super serious injury, which is why he's probably been able to play at this level.
Yeah.
So I agree, like, Rodgers could, but also you got to think Rodgers has dealt with –
sort of the point, right? He's an athletic aging quarterback. That at one point looked maybe not washed, but it looked a little like
to his standards.
We might have to start thinking about the future. And then what happened is you guys went to the NFC Championship game, and it's like, oh well,
never mind.
Like, you sort of like, I don't want to say fell into it, but like it's kind of like
so.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, yeah, about that. Like, yeah, so, like, going back to what we said earlier, like, the creme de la creme NFL positions are quarterbacks, right? Not only because of the importance of driving the game, but it's also, like, relatively their shelf life, right? If we want to compare this, like, to running backs have relatively shorter shelf life as opposed to quarterbacks, right?
And yeah, that's just another reason you should never take a running back in the first round.
Exactly why they're
cheap. Like, they're all like 90% of them are done after that first contract.
Second contract, because there's a lot of wear and tear. And that's especially why a couple of years ago when the Steelers had gave Le'Veon Bell that money, it was like, what? But, like, again, though, you had a freakish athlete in, like, Le'Veon Bell. And there was at one point, like, Leonard Fournette, when the Jaguars were doing good, it looked like Leonard Fournette was on his way, too. After, like, Leonard Fournette, the Jaguars does not look the Leonard Fournette of the Bucks does not look the same as Leonard Fournette from the Jaguars. Is you can tell, like, it's just a physical decline.
Yeah.
Having said all that, you've never seen a physical specimen like Aaron Rodgers like that on the quarterback position. Like, I'll never forget, it was like a one last game in Chicago, and like he flung that mug, just flung it.
Listen,
and it just went in. It just nothing. Like, you couldn't say nothing about that. And so it is this weird predicament, because Tom Brady is like the very much of the exception, right? 40 plus years old, just balling, right? Going to be 50 plus, probably balling. Like, he's kind of like some of what we say about LeBron, where it's like, dog, you're fucking 20. Like, he out here balling. But it is, in terms of, like, at least for Rodgers, it is the shoulder injuries. I think it's the age, but I think it's also like his shoulder injuries too. That really is like probably putting him down on like these 1 or 2 year contracts now. Cause it's like, I don't know.
For sure. And this is what I say. So Brady is a tactician. Like, the way Brady manages a game is like no other. That shit is insane. Like, that's what makes him so successful. I think Brady ain't throwing the ball 50 yards like that. It ain't the arm. It's the fact that Brady is legitimately running an offense from beginning to end of game, and his game management,
it's all cerebral. Yeah,
and that's also somewhat what we saw of Breeze before he was, you know, before it started, because like the Saints were scheming up a whole bunch of stuff for Breeze, right? Yeah. I also think it's really dumb that they kept bringing in Taysom Hill and being like, okay, third and whatever, we're going to take the ball out of our Hall of Fame quarterback's hands and put it into this dude that, like, can't really throw. But, like, hey, Sean Payton's a smart guy, so, you know. So that's where the Rodgers thing is different, is that, like we said, he is such a physical specimen or physical talent in that, like, we haven't – you could argue that he's maybe the most – talented person to play the quarterback position from a, like, the things he's able to do, right? Mahomes is going to be challenging that if he can stay upright, yes. But, like, Rodgers is squarely in that conversation. Those guys don't necessarily age well. And the fact that we're saying, you know, he's 36 or 37 now, he also sat for like 4 years.
He did. People don't acknowledge that. He Favre, he was behind Favre for about 3 or 4. And to be completely honest, people don't talk about Aaron Rodgers would have been on the shelf even more if it wasn't for how Favre's time ended in Green Bay. Yep. Or Favre getting injured and us just actually being able to see that Rodgers was like that. So yeah, we really got lucky. And that's more so as a Green Bay fan, seeing how Rodgers was introduced to us makes it, for me, even more hurtful that I want to more so focus on what the organization did not do to help him. Yes. That's more so what it is. We can talk about the injuries and we can speak to that, and that's going to happen. Like, that's part of the game. You can't control that. But in moments where he was healthy and the team dropped the ball on getting him weapons or putting the right people, putting the right team around him for him to actually go to the Super Bowl, that's where I'm like, teams don't get lucky like that to have somebody like Brett Favre. And then even though we didn't know it at the time, you don't get lucky enough to have Brett Favre and then have the player we're talking about in Aaron Rodgers follow. And we accidentally kind of stumble on having him as our starting quarterback. And to fumble that even more so and only get one championship out of him,
I also think part of it too is, remember, the reason they took him at 24, he might have been the first overall pick that year. Yeah. So he just kept falling, and they're just like, well, I mean, come on, we got it. Like, at this point, we got to do it, right? Yeah. The CBA was also very different back then too, right? So I think that's also part of that's why I'm saying I'm not sure how much leverage he has, because if they want to get rid of Rodgers, they'd be like, okay, Jordan Love, you're up. You're on a cheap contract for the next 4 years, essentially. We can now you're talking about all this money that we're not able to spend on free agents or whatever. No, we can go throw that now because we got a dude making $5 million for us. Even if he plays at a good level, maybe not an Aaron Rodgers level, if he plays at a good level, we can you know, do the thing where we put other pieces around him and build that up.
And build it up.
Which makes a lot of sense. However, the only thing now is, given the way the NFC is shaping up as a conference in general, you're going to want Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback if you can. But you ruined that. You already went and drafted Jordan Love when I feel like the rest of, you know, Packers fans feel like you could have went and drafted a position we actually needed at the time. I think it was very early to try to go get his successor. It made it seem like you either felt like he was out the door or you was trying to push him
out. Yeah.
But see, again, that's coming off that season where he looked iffy for a lot of it. You know what I'm saying? And like, I guess the thing is, you'd rather be a year early than a year too late.
Well, let me ask you.
That's the same thing that I argued with the Falcons, right? The Falcons got Matt Ryan. They just drafted Kyle Pitts. I have no doubt that Kyle Pitts is going to be a great guy, a great player in the NFL. Yo, you just passed up Justin Fields, though. Like, if Justin Fields is it, you let him out the state, and that's another 10, 15 years potentially.
Mm. Yeah, and I definitely get playing it safe, but I also think there's a class of quarterback where you risk it. Like, Brady got an off year. You don't necessarily jump and go get Brady's successor, not after what he's proven, if we're talking about this age range. Like, if Brady still wants to play, and Brady had an off year, and I'm looking at the year and saying, okay, yeah, Brady didn't look the best. But I'm also looking at, okay, Brady didn't look the best, but Brady team wasn't the best either. And I'm taking all things into consideration. Until he completely shows me that it's like kind of solely him that's about to fall off the wagon, I'm going to kind of run that course till it's over, because that's going to be my best bet. And I just feel like there's a very, very small class of quarterbacks that you do that with. Brady would be in there.
Roger. It's tricky, though, because the Patriots went out and got Garoppolo in the second round.
Right.
And for the moment, Garoppolo look like the next thing, right? They had Brissett as their third string. Brissett is still a quarterback in the league. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you say that, I don't disagree with you, but again, the thing is like, okay, the Saints right now, they don't have, like, they're banking on the Jameis reclamation project, which like, maybe Sean Payton is able to do that. Maybe Sean Payton is able to. I don't think he's going to be able to. He's Jameis is a better option than Taysom Hill.
I mean, yeah. How much reclamation are we talking about though?
but that's my point. There's no successor here. There's no next guy, right? Like the Patriots had that in plan in motion, and then Brady kept being Brady, and then they were just like, all right, well, Belichick still wanted to move off of Brady. He was like, yo, Garoppolo, like, let's go with the kid for a while. And like, maybe, yes, in hindsight, we didn't know at the time that Brady was still going to be playing at this level, but he still, at the moment, you're still banking on a 30-something-year-old quarterback. And let's not also act like there haven't been moments in the last couple of years where you turn on the game and see Brady playing and look like, this don't necessarily look great right now.
But again, to the point about him being so cerebral, that's why I'm like, it's so looking at Brady in that context, it's the same way I figure we all will look at LeBron. Bron clearly ain't Miami Bron, right? Like by all means of the eye test, he ain't that Bron. But you not about to, if the Lakers, for whatever odd reason, had like a relatively early first round pick, whether it be the season went left or whatever the case may be, right? You not like, and maybe it's a little bit different. Maybe you still take a player, you know, maybe you still take a player, but you don't take a
I don't know, man. You know, 36, you didn't got an ankle injury.
Listen, bro.
You're not taking Bron's successor right now.
Listen, dog. Listen, they not taking Bron's successor because the nigga damn near already on the roster, bro. Well, he said the moment that AD got there, hey, bro. Keys is yours. You next.
This is true. But Bron also, okay, well, I'll put it like this. Bron's going to orchestrate that. And in the NBA, it's a little bit different because they have a little bit more control. So Bron has the ability to be like, if I'm going to bring in a young guy, I want to bring in my personal successor to this team. People, like guys in it, like a quarterback can't do that. Like if a quarterback could do that, I wholeheartedly believe like Aaron Rodgers would have a say who's coming in as quarterback and who would follow
him. I swear, I know good and well that nigga Tom Brady could bring in his successor right now. Brady got the juice like that, man.
Brady do got juice like
but
that.
But
like,
generally, no.
Yeah, no. Generally, no. So, I know nothing you said is wrong. I don't disagree. I just feel like it's a matter of whatever.
It's such a difference, like you said, between the NBA and NFL. Because the NFL, it has to be more of a business. It's a bigger roster. You know what I'm saying? You have however many millions to spend on 53 players.
Right.
So, like, you know, quarterbacks are the foundation of the team. But at some point, you still going to be like, yo, man, we moving on. Like, we got to do what's best for us. Whereas in the NBA, like you said, like if the Lakers weirdly had the first pick and they could have gotten Zion, or they had the first pick this year and they could get whoever they wanted to, Bron would be like, all right, bring the kid. Like, he ain't going to play. Like, he ain't starting over me. You know what I'm saying? We going to figure it out. But, like, bring him in. Like, it's a big difference. So
yeah, it's a huge difference for sure.
So since you already brought up Bron, let's go ahead and talk about these playoffs. Then by the time this episode airs, we'll probably be past round one. But what's it looking like for? What are you thinking it's going to look like? Let's start out West first.
Out West, man. The West is. I feel like sometimes I get disappointed. I feel like I get disappointed every year because I feel like the West is going to be extremely interesting and it end up being a cakewalk for, you know, the top seeded teams. But to be completely honest, I think the way things fell this year and with the play-in, I think there's a lot of different factors this season that's really going to make these playoffs probably some of the most interesting we've seen in recent.
There's some parity in here, too. Like, I'm particularly looking at that Clippers and Nuggets matchup.
There's so much parity. Like,
that's going to be interesting.
The Clippers and Nuggets facing.
What'd you say, Derek?
But I said, like, what's going to happen there? Because I agree with you. Like, that could go. I mean, there's a lot of factors in that matchup. But I feel like that could go. I know what Josh is thinking.
Is it parity, bro?
It is
parity.
It could go either way. Like, I mean,
this is okay. It's not, the parody is not as pronounced.
So wait. Who's the three? I thought the Nuggets were the three seed.
No, they are. Nuggets are three.
Nuggets right. are three. Okay, cool.
So Nuggets are three. Clippers are four. Are the Mavs five and the Blazers six?
Yeah.
So Nuggets get the Blazers. Hey, that's what I wanted the Blazers to get because. So I said this on the podcast. I said, if I'm the Blazers, because I asked, I said, if I'm the Blazers, do I want the Clippers or do I want the Nuggets? And I said I want the Nuggets solely because since their guard play is shaky right now.
I said they're porous on defense?
Yeah, on defense. Okay. And the fact, I mean, with Murray out, that changes a lot. And not to say their guard play isn't
that
good.
That changes a lot on defense or offense?
Both. I think, because even Denver's defense, their strength is in their bigs and in their wings. I don't think they don't have any lockdown any defenders I'm scared of or worried about per se at the guard position, especially if I'm Dame and CJ. There's not nobody I'm looking over there. Granted, they're going to do their switching and all that and carrying on. But if I'm Dame and CJ and I see Denver, I see blood right now. More than I would see if I had to go up against the Clippers first round, at least. It ain't a guarantee that the Trailblazers win that series. I'm just saying, I think
they're more comfortable with that matchup as opposed to the Clippers.
Here's the thing with the Clippers.
Okay.
Everybody knows we still got something to prove.
Say man.
Listen.
We talk about the Nuggets and how far they've fallen off and stuff. Like they
got to
the three and like Michael Porter Jr. for all 12 minutes he was at Mizzou. Ain't like killing it right now, dog. Yeah. Like he might be looking at Jamal Murray when Jamal come back. Like so you cool being the third option, right?
He shouldn't do that just yet.
So I just want to point this out with the Nuggets.
I agree with you, right? I agree with you. However, you telling a 6'10" dude with handles like that's the key.
If Porter
keeps going like that, that's their number two.
If he ascends and shows up in these playoffs, there can be a legitimate conversation about that. And Murray has the ability to still be extremely effective as a third option. That's the scary part.
I was gonna say, like, so here's the thing: like the Nuggets for the past, I think, 3 years have found themselves like in a top three in the West.
Or a top team. Like,
just a top team in the West. And it's like at first, like you have most of your attention on Jokic, and then you had like the attention, you know, with Gary Harris or even like and the rest of them. Like, what you had that defensive team. Then it switched a little bit because then you started to see Jamal Murray step up, and now switching now because now you're seeing Michael Porter Jr. Like, Denver has been consistent these last 3 years. Now a deep playoff run is going to depend on the depth of their bench, but it's really to what Josh is saying, like, it's really going to depend on Michael Porter Jr. now.
Michael Porter Jr. is going to more than likely have to average 25-plus through the
entire
But
here's
thing.
The thing, though. Y'all talk about the Nuggets not playing no defense. The Blazers play less than that.
Exactly. The Blazers play no defense, and this completely pisses me off. They play no defense.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, we talking about, you talking about Dame and CJ. Look, Mike is probably over there looking like, oh, yeah, that's food. Okay.
And I feel that.
Get CJ on a
I was going to say, like, you're right in terms of, like, the Blazers. When I look at the Blazers, this isn't facts. Like, when you look at the Blazers, like, they're guard-led, like, with CJ and with CJ and Dame. That's no doubt, but, like, I just keep looking at like the size, like how lengthy like these niggas are in Denver, man. I mean, like, we gonna forget Eric Gordon is on there. Eric Gordon been hooping. Michael Porter Jr. is lengthy. Jokic, bro, they finna eat in that paint.
At this point, so Jokic damn near the MVP. So
Jokic finna
not damn near, not damn near. He's the MVP. Nightmares. He's the MVP.
Okay,
fair. He's the MVP.
I agree.
I give Jokic the MVP.
I like when Embiid was healthy, there was an argument, and then Embiid missed a whole bunch of games, and it's just like, okay,
Jokic.
Well.
Because Jokic has been the most, he was the most consistent throughout the entire season, putting up stupid numbers. While, especially once Murray went out too, while keeping Denver, because Denver easily could have failed once Murray went out.
They came out the gate stumbling. Let's not forget that. Like, they came out the gate looking like a play-in team.
They did. While Jokic was still putting up these numbers.
And they still ended up three. So I don't know, man. I don't know about Denver and Blaze.
I'm glad we all agree on that because I'm really tired of hearing, well, we have to have the Steph conversation. It's like, listen, man.
Steph is the scoring champion and had a great season.
What Steph did is why they created all NBA teams. Okay. That is why that exists. He's going to get All NBA first team, and he should. Greatest shooter of all time. You can make a case he's a top 20 player if he stopped playing right now, right?
Easily, you can make that case, honestly.
Easily. There is no way you can give the MVP to a dude whose team is not only in eighth place, is in the playoff, in the play-in tournament.
It was almost ninth place.
I know it's Steph and a bunch of dudes, and I salute him for bringing those bunch of dudes there.
On a tear offensively, but
no. Buddy, you are still in eighth place, bro. Like, what? That is just...
Your first play-in, from the time we're recording this, your first play-in bout is with the Lakers.
And they don't have a chance in hell.
And
they have a chance in hell at a one-off game. They're not winning no series.
Maybe. But here's the thing, Steve. For that to happen, Steph is going to have to go nuclear. LeBron and AD are going to have bad games. And AD? The Lakers are going to have play bad defense on that.
And I mean...
You know what I'm saying?
LeBron's ankle will have to re-aggravate him. They took him out from the time we recorded this. Like, they took him out, like, during the New Orleans game. Like, he walked and put pressure on it. But they took him out.
Bro, he caught an oop with his elbow at the rim.
With Indiana. Like, he came back in Indiana, like, 24-something, chilling.
He's like, oh, yeah, I'm good. Bro. Like,
nah.
That's why all them teams was trying to make sure they wasn't, okay, let me make sure I don't get them in the second round. Because listen,
Bron's fine, which is why when everybody was talking about, oh, he's still out, he hasn't come back, Bron has no reason to rush back. Because when you're him and when you have that team, it doesn't really matter what seed you are. Like, it doesn't matter. So they're going to be fine. I'm pretty sure Bron's fine. Pretty sure AD is fine.
I feel so bad for Phoenix.
Yeah, what I was about to say. Like, really, everybody always tees up around Phoenix. I feel so sorry.
I feel so bad for them. Imagine you work all this time and you get the number two seed, and your reward is LeBron James and Anthony Davis in round one. Two motherfuckers you have no answer for.
And they're rolling off of two play-in games. Off a play-in game.
About that, though, let me say this. I completely agree that there's a very high chance Phoenix doesn't come out of that series. I don't think it's a guarantee that LA wins. Very high chance they do, though. I'm just saying, I'm not going to discount Phoenix like they don't got.
What matchup problems does Phoenix have?
Steve.
Hear me.
Everywhere.
This is what I'm saying. The person I'm watching the most in that series is Devin Booker.
Okay.
I'm not saying that Devin Booker is necessarily going to change the course completely, but if Devin Booker has a coming out party, I think that makes this a more interesting series than people are initially anticipating.
I'm going to raise your Devin Booker with a Dennis Schroeder, a THT, and I'm going to raise that with a KCP. I'm just going to raise that.
The Lakers are still so good defensively.
They're so deep. And they're great
deep. And they're deep. And that's the thing that we saw last year, too, in the bubble, right? They are bigger than you. They can switch damn near anybody. And they don't, like 95% of the time, they don't play their best lineup, which is LeBron at the four and AD at the five, because they don't have to.
What's crazy is y'all named all guards, not even mentioning once you get to the front court,
you still got Gasol, Drummond, AD,
Harold. Like, they're deep as hell. So, but what I'm saying is this: I'm never going to discount CP3, and I'm not going to discount Devin Booker, even though we haven't seen him in the offseason yet. I want to see their response to what this challenge is that is the Lakers in the first
round. I'm going to say it like this. If anything, they will push that series to six. If anything. I think Devin Booker will have a great playoff experience. But that's about it, though. Because it's like, okay, if Devin Booker's on a roll tonight. Okay, KCP. Okay. Wes Matthews. Okay.
With all respect, I think Book could actually cook all them. I ain't going to give a lot to you.
No question. Because this is something that was like, it was a thought that I had in my head as y'all kept talking about, like, who's going to come out, you know, who's going to perform versus who's not going to perform. with all of these things in mind, right? Like Devin Booker being with CP3 and them still having to play the Lakers, who are obviously, you know, the reigning champions. Does there not, is the fact that there aren't too many fans there and it's still sort of like a quarantine feel, does that in turn then have an effect on certain people coming out, like you all are mentioning, like, oh, this man's going to go off now because, you know, there's no really like, you know, real game feel or that type of thing. Like, does that have any effect or is it kind of just people are still going to do what they do based on?
I think the biggest thing that's hurting Phoenix, other than the fact that they have to play the fucking Lakers, is that it's CP3 and a bunch of kids that ain't been there before.
That's right? Really what it is.
Right. And so like we saw this last year, like you could get by with OKC, but Schroeder had played before, like Danilo had played before, like Steven Adams had played, like you know, there were guys there that had been there. Have been playoff experience. Yo, it's like CP3 and Jay Crowder.
OKC should have won that series.
That, but also like the Rockets were just kind of like, eh. Like, I don't know how seriously they took them either.
The reason why OKC should have won that series.
Right. And also, you had a coach in D'Antoni who, again, does not believe in playing defense, which we'll get to on the Nets, right? But, like, yo, the Lakers are like, we are a 7 seed. We should be a 1 right now. We have the biggest chip on our shoulders. Everybody's looking at everybody else. This is the perfect time for Bron and them to rally the troops and be like, yo, ain't nobody thinking about us right now.
They can literally fly under the radar. They're going to like look up and be in the Western Conference.
I don't think they are flying under the radar. I don't think everybody is looking at everybody else. I think from the moment
you and I don't think that. But that's not what they going to say. They're going to be like, look, the Jazz are the 1 seed. The people are giving the Clippers. Everybody talking about how good the Clippers are playing this year. So everyone's talking about the Nets. No one's talking about how we're going to go back to the finals.
Right. So I see what you're saying in this regard. It's like they're the defending champs, 1. But 2, it's LeBron James. So they're going to talk about it, right? And it's always going to be like, and it's a narrative of like LeBron cakewalked the East. Is it going to be the same in the West? There's that narrative too, right? But most people fall in love a lot with like season storylines. A lot of people fall in love like with the Jazz and with the Suns. And time again, and I'm saying this, I'm gonna say this right now on wax. The Jazz are gonna get their ass knocked out by the second round at best. Cause this happens every year. You get one team that magically like pops up and is like doing well because they're sharing the ball and all this stuff. You know, they share the ball, they play the right way, all this other crap. Then it talks about them peaking too early. And then with them peaking too early, then all of a sudden they get a first round experience and they kind of do well. And then we get to like to the second round and they go.
Yeah, I never had any faith in them as a 1 seed to begin with.
We've seen this with the Pacers before. Like when the Pacers like were doing good, like, you know, with Paul George and the crew. We've seen that before.
We've seen that with a certain team in the
Relax, we gonna get to them.
We've seen this before, you know. They was teeing up and doing well. They teed up and did really well last year, and then like for some reason they just went kabuch. You know,
it wasn't for some round. No. I say it wasn't for some reason. They had a lot on their, you know. Listen.
To the point. That's to the great point. They fall into that category for sure. The Bucks do. I'm not saying it was for some reason, right?
Yeah, the thing I'll say about like the Bucks more than any other team in that bubble were probably most affected by the stuff that was happening while they were there because this was happening in their state, right? Like we could talk about this. Like the Clippers just didn't look like they wanted to be there. Period. And the Bucks were like, well, we got this shit that just happened in our backyard, bro. Like,
yeah.
So I could give them a little bit of a pass for that. But everything else.
Yeah. Now, to the Clippers point, though. So we talking about the Lakers and as we should. It don't matter where they seated. A team that has LeBron James and Anthony Davis on there is never going to fly under the radar. But I do think it'll be interesting because I don't think this will be their. Well, it won't be a cakewalk. I will say that. But I do think the Lakers are still flawed by inconsistency. I want to say that is their only flaw.
And see, that's a point that I was thinking, too, because not saying that's going to obviously stop LeBron from being LeBron. right? Like them not playing enough games with certain rotations and things like that. But what if that then becomes a thing later and later? Like, does that prevent them from making the finals then if they're too inconsistent? Like, does
bro, they going to cook stuff ass. They going to cook that.
I'm not talking about,
But here's my thing, right? We talk about inconsistency. The Lakers are inconsistent as hell last year, too. Then they got to the bubble, and they were like, yo, we can what's the thing we can rely on? Our defense, our size, our ability to control the boards. What's the thing that they're going to be able to do this year better than any other team damn near in the NBA players, in the NBA playoffs? Their defense. They're still a – like, I can't overstate the magnitude of being a gigantic team when everything slows down, right? They have They got two dudes in LeBron and AD, like – 98% of the teams in the league do not have an answer for. Like, damn near either one of those two dudes, especially not combined, and especially when you think about LeBron and AD pick and roll. Like, what do you do to stop that? And we have the championship experience that they just came off of, and the team was like, that team made so many adjustments last year within series. It's like, oh, yeah, no, we'll drop game one, then we'll win four straight. We'll figure out your weakness. It's fine.
They do have – the Lakers have that much juice. Like, they have the ability to do that. They have the ability to drop a game and not sweat because it'll probably be pretty easy for them to figure out why that game got dropped to begin with, or it was a test. Like, I really feel like the Lakers played test games to figure out, like, okay, what's going to be their strategy, and then debunk that shit. I think I agree with your point that there's no match. There's never really been a match for LeBron. I don't know how you guard Anthony Davis when he is Anthony Davis. But let's talk about the fact that there are moments far too consistent, in my opinion, where he is not Anthony Davis. And I don't think in these playoffs, outside of that bubble where it was easy for a more experienced team to be focused, which automatically fell on the Lakers. You've played a season, like you've already been dealing with the health and safety protocols. You didn't have fans, then you had fans. So the environment now is everybody's accustomed to. There's no huge, you know, shocking jolter, you know, difference in where you're playing. AD cannot. He cannot come up short. He cannot go absent for a game or two at a time. He cannot have games where he has under 10 rebounds. He cannot have games where he doesn't score over 10 points. That cannot happen. You maybe skate, luckily, by Phoenix if you do that. If you have to play a Denver, if you have to play even a Utah, if you have to play the Clippers, that cannot happen.
I was with you till you said Utah, bro. I was with you too.
Okay, I'm gonna say this.
Even with Utah,
because Anthony Davis is gonna drag Rudy Gobert ass out into the
if he shoot 5 for 20, it ain't gonna mean nothing if he pulling Gobert.
Okay, but also, I'm gonna tell you this right now. Like you said, you got Trez, you got Gasol, and you got Drummond.
They gonna win a game for you.
No. What I was going to say is just go down to the post on the defensive when we're on defense and just bother him. Just continue to do these elbows and stuff in his back and all that kind of stuff.
Gasol
is just going to be sitting there like, okay, cool. Just put your old man weight on him. Just lean on him like that real good. By game five, he ain't going to be looking like the same dude.
I'm crying.
You know what I'm saying?
What I'm saying is this: as deep as the Lakers are, once you get past Bron and AD, I don't think there's anybody winning you a game. So I wouldn't play with fire by trusting that even if AD has them off games, which again are happening too commonly, in my opinion.
Bro, there are multiple X factors on that Lakers team, dog.
That's winning you a game, though. I get you X factors. That's winning you a game, though.
Who's the third best player on that Lakers roster?
Who?
Who's the third best player? Who was
in my opinion?
Yes.
Schroeder.
Okay.
Yo, let's keep it funky, though, bro. They're good enough offensive, like defensively, to win you a game. That could steal you one game.
As a team,
And you're telling me that Kuzma can't have one of those weird games where he goes like 9 for 10 and unexpectedly scores like 25 points or something like that?
Kuzma's also a liability on defense, though. So
sure. Right? But like, again, you're not having him defend your best, the best player. That's going to be KCP job.
He's a liability no matter who he guards.
He's solid and big enough. Again, they're just going to switch everything, bro. They're just going to be like, okay, cool.
Man, they're one of the few teams that can do that.
But listen, man. I ain't necessarily thinking about if he's on Joe Ingles, right? Like, whatever, right? Like, if he's on Bogdanovich, okay, sure, right? He ain't really going to get the chance to be on Donovan Mitchell. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, all right, whatever. Like, but he's good enough offensively, like I said, to steal you a game here or there, just like, you know, the rest of that team for real.
I feel that. So are the Lakers coming out the West? Do y'all think the Lakers are coming out the West?
They'll come out the West. They are coming out the West. Barring any injuries, they're coming out the West, man.
Barring any serious injuries or any serious...
Because, listen, the Clippers are just going to Clipper, right?
Paul George is going to Paul George.
Here's my thing, and that's what I was going to say. It really hurts me. It truly does. Because Paul George is elite. Like, outside of playoffs, like, just in general talent, Paul George is elite. I don't know what happens in the postseason where he just disappears.
He sees his baby mama. That's what happens. Regular season P in the building. Regular season P.
My God. Okay. Can we...
Three.
I'm crying. Could we agree on the fact that if this is obviously a huge if,
Paul George steps us and be a father, no. There's no damn way Paul George is stepping up in the playoffs. No, that's not happening. It's not going to happen.
All right. Even if he does, bro, I feel like it's just the Clippers. Like, they got to move to San Diego or something, bro. Like, it's just them, like, being the Clippers. Like, think about it. Really think about it. There was no real reason for them to have dropped 3-1. To the Nuggets. Other than them niggas really just didn't want to be there. Right? Like, there's no... Like, they had no injuries for real. You know, you could maybe argue guys were in and out the lineup. They had no chemistry, right? Maybe they weren't the best of pals. Cool.
That's not enough.
They still look like the second best team in the West. You know what I'm saying? And, like, they just were like, nah, I actually don't want to do this no more. Like, they're just the Clippers. Like, I have no, like, you telling me, like, again, go back to the Lob City edition of them. They should have won a lot more than they did.
They really should have had, like, a Western Conference Finals appearance.
It's just like that Super Bowl, I think 2016, when it was the Falcons and the Patriots, right? The Patriots didn't even do nothing special. They were just playing against the Falcons. It could have been the Jaguars in the Super Bowl, and they still would end up because they're the Falcons. That's just
they're
what
the
they
Falcons,
do.
Falcons, Cat. They're the Falcons.
They're the Falcons. The same way the Clippers are the Falcons of the NBA. You feel me?
Paul George is the Falcons of the NBA. I want to make this very, very clear.
Is Paul George the Matt Ryan of the NBA?
He gotta be, because here's the thing. Kawhi Leonard did not show up in that game 7. Kawhi Leonard sure as hell showed up in the Mudder games. Where the hell was Paul George?
Paul George was nowhere to be found. He had to put out an APB. Like, we know this.
I think Paul George might be the Matt Ryan of the NBA.
Josh, you're being disrespectful. He's not the Matt Ryan of the NBA. This is the thing. Again, let me state.
Paul Clifton Anthony George? I don't know, man.
This man.
Paul Clifton Anthony George might be. Paul Clifton Matt Ryan Anthony George. PG Nightmare, man.
We just spent too much time on this topic. We got to go to the East before this becomes a 3-hour podcast. Who you got coming up the East, bro?
My PG Nightmare. Obviously, biasly, if everything was to work out the way I would like it to, it would be Milwaukee. If that does not happen, it's probably Brooklyn.
Here's where I'm going to disagree with you, because just on that side of the bracket is going to be, it's probably going to be one of these three teams, Milwaukee, Miami, and Brooklyn. But they all have to, I'm saying on that side of the bracket, like the 2-3 matchup versus like the 3-6 and the 2-7, like that. Yeah. What I'm saying, they have to beat two of those, like one of those teams is going to have to beat the other two teams in order to just to get to the conference finals.
Right.
That's hard. That's hard enough.
Yeah.
And then you got a Sixers team who, like, unbiasedly, probably has the, like, best all-around player in the East right now in Joel Embiid. And I don't know, Miami has the best chance at stopping him just because they have Bam. But, like, even then, Miami's going to have to do a lot of heavy lifting to be where they were last year right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, if Brooklyn gets there, I'm not saying Brooklyn can't get there. If Brooklyn gets there, that means they're going to have to beat whoever the seven is. I'm not concerned about that. And then they're going to have to beat probably the Bucks, maybe the Heat. The Heat are just not fun to play against. And the Bucks are still a very good team, right? And Brooklyn plays no defense whatsoever. Oh, they couldn't stop a nosebleed, right? And that matters in the playoffs.
The wild part is Brooklyn may not have to play defense until they play Philly.
They're going to play some defense against y'all, bro.
Yes, but Brooklyn, they are that powerful offensively. Like, you're not going to outscore Brooklyn. Even against us. Like, we played them without Harden, and it was tight. And I love the way we closed both those games out. But with all three of them, it's just hard to outscore them.
Right. But you're also asking for a playoff series for all three of them to be at 100%.
They're not.
Right? You have to be clicking on 100% in order for our...
They don't have to, that's the scary thing, bro. I don't think they have to click.
But like, I do, because we've seen high-scoring teams get to the playoffs, and what happened, like, everyone, it's a cliche. Game slows down. Possessions become tighter. Teams will make adjustments. And especially you talking about Milwaukee, yo, you got three dudes that can line up with the other three dudes that can play some solid defense. So even if KD is at 80% capacity and the rest of them are right around that benchmark, is that realistically going to be enough offense to counteract your complete lack of – it's not like they play okay defense. They play no defense.
No defense.
And you have a coach here in Steve Nash who ain't never been here. We don't know if he's a peacetime coach, a wartime coach, what type of coach he is. You have his second-in-command, D'Antoni, who plays no defense, not the best at making adjustments. Like, we haven't really seen shit hit the fan with Brooklyn with their big three. That's the other thing, too. We don't know what their egos look like. Let's say Brooklyn gets down 2-1 to you guys, and they lose that game – game four. So now they're down 3-1 with their back against the wall. You're telling me that Kevin Durant, Kyrie, and James are still all going to be kumbaya?
If I feel like if this Milwaukee team gets a team 3-1, I don't think they lose that lead. I don't think they lose that lead.
They lose it.
If this Milwaukee team, I don't think that, not this one, not this team. I don't think they'll lose it.
I'm saying about Brooklyn.
If Brooklyn's down 3-1.
I'm saying I don't think Kyrie's going to be looking like, yo, y'all need to give me the ball more. Like, I'm saying, like, I'm Kyrie Irving. And KD's like, motherfucker, I'm Kevin Durant. You know what I mean?
But I think that's where James Harden's, like, uniqueness comes in, because James Harden has been, like, the unofficial point guard for that group.
That's the scariness of it all. Because
Harden can play, like, this Nets team acts like a damn this Nets team is low-key like that D'Antoni offense that the Rockets were trying to play, but instead, like, you got Kyrie and you got KD. But we'll see how it goes in the playoffs, though. We don't know how James Harden performs in the playoffs.
But the only thing I'm going to say to that,
like, James Harden is like that peacekeeper, because if you just take but there's stats on this that show that if you pair Kyrie with KD, they're not winning that mad many. But if you put James Harden on that team, any pairing with either Kyrie or KD, they have higher stats winning. Like, James Harden's going to be that key of whether, like, is he going to take a backseat relatively to scoring, and is he going to assist? That's going to be the difference in offense. Defense, I don't fucking know. But still.
Maybe, but like, let's not act like James don't got an ego. Like, he, again, everything is going perfect for them in terms of when their three are playing, right? Okay, you get the, I'm gonna distribute. You're telling me that if they're down in the series and nothing has been working, James don't be like, well, fuck this. Like, why do I keep dishing it out?
It could,
why don't I just go back to Houston, James Harden?
Strip club Harden.
It's a lot of it's going to be a lot of just waiting and seeing, because like you said, the interesting part about the East right now is there is no team that is proven, maybe except Miami. But because Miami is not nearly as scary this year as they were last year, it doesn't have the same. There's just not the same fear factor there. But Milwaukee's not proven. Brooklyn's not proven. And Philly's not proven. Now, I will say Philly is probably going to be the toughest out of any team in the East, if you ask me. I think what the reason Brooklyn's in the conversation is because of that big three and because of how much they can score. And it's just a matter of really being defensively able to stop them. Miami is not. Because like you say, even with Bam, okay, cool, Bam can maybe minimize and be to some small capacity. And maybe you could throw Jimmy on, Ben, Tobias. But I mean, after that, who's guarding Ben Simmons if Jimmy Butler is guarding Tobias? I mean, you could throw Iggy if you want to, but like, and then when you start bringing in the rest of that team, I just don't think Miami has enough, like not enough defensively, at least. So it'll be really interesting to see. But I do like Milwaukee's chances the most this season, not as a guarantee to get out of the conference, but this is the best Milwaukee team of this peak of the franchise to this point. In the last 3 years, this is the strongest Milwaukee team for a lot of different reasons. I will forever double down on how important Jrue Holiday will be to whatever run they make this postseason. He is a massive upgrade from Bledsoe on multiple accounts. He does not have a lot of postseason experience and not a lot of deep postseason experience, but just the player he is going to make a difference, especially with who we're going to have to play. Like, he's the difference maker against the Brooklyn, in my opinion. He's the difference maker against anybody from a standpoint of having that guard that is a true two-way player and that can provide so much more than what Bledsoe provided on both ends. The addition of PJ, how we even pulled that off, I don't know. But getting PJ and then even getting a bench guy like Jeff T.
I know you're not trying to sit up here and talk to me about, no, Jeff, fuck your team, bro.
Whoa.
I know you're not.
As a backup point guard.
I know you're not finna sit up here and talk to me about no Jeff T. When Giannis needs to be like, listen, man, this is my shit, bro. Like,
no, as a backup point guard, I like him better than Augustine. I don't expect the world from Jeff T. But if Jeff T. got to come in and be the follow up to Jrue, I'm comfortable with that. Like, I'm comfortable with him being my second unit point guard. He ain't gonna be playing late in the game. You know what I'm saying? But you still need that for when Jrue can't play, or God forbid, Jrue get in foul trouble or whatever. I love DiVincenzo, always have. I think the Bucks just have stronger bench players than they have in the past, which is why I think this year is their best shot at getting to wherever. Whether that's getting out the finals, or whether you want to even be lofty and say the actual, like, you know, like actually win the finals. This is their best shot. If they don't at least get to the conference finals and fight this year, it's a lot that's gonna be moving around out there. Definitely Bud's gonna be gone, but I don't know. Unless they get to the finals, Bud is almost for sure out.
Yeah, for sure.
The finals would save his job. So
listen, I think that's the final thing that we're gonna talk about, because we've been on here for an hour and a half or so. Steve, is there anything else you would like to say?
Nah, man, you know, like I said, we could talk for hours, bro. I ain't even get to talk, music with y'all, but
man.
Another pod for another day. But
J. Cole finally did not put up a Nap Rap album. Thank God.
Man, you know what's so crazy? I've heard so many like mixed. We ain't got to go into it, but I just
we'll talk about that. We'll talk about when that says not recording.
Yeah, but just first and foremost, thank y'all for having me, man. I've been a fan of the show since y'all started, since its inception. Love what y'all doing. Feel like y'all are some crazy characters, more specifically Jesse. But y'all got something good going here. Just glad I was able to finally be a part of the Energy Live, man. And just, thank y'all for having me.
And we appreciate you coming on, Steve. Just remember, stay off our fucking corners, nigga. Don't you ever come on our corners no more.
Hey, I'm out the game.
All right, that's cool. Thank you for coming on. Tell the people where to find you.
Let me make sure I got this correct. I think on Instagram, it's for sure at Mr. Qualified. I'm pretty sure there's an underscore after that. I think that's it. But at Mr. Qualified underscore on Twitter at Mr. Qualified. Follow Qualified on Instagram at Qualified LLC. And y'all can subscribe to the YouTube channel at Qualified LLC as well. So that's where you can find me and all the content, man.
All right, so that'll do it for this very long episode. If you stay through all of this, you actually probably really fuck with us. You probably really fuck with us because this was a long episode. So for Steve, for Jesse, for Derek, I have been Joshua. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the It's Just Jokes podcast. Shout out to D. Will again for everything behind the scenes. We appreciate you, sir. And shout out to King Boy and Jay Alizier for the outro music. We'll catch you guys next time. Bye.